you, Dwayne. Good morning, church. For those of you online and those of you who are new here, my name is Pastor Mike McNeff. Yeah, Mike is away visiting grandkids this week, so he asked me to be ready to go this morning, and I got all prepared to speak this morning, and then at 2 o'clock this morning, God woke me up and said, "You got it all wrong." No, actually, he said, "Thank you very much for preparing. You have a very wonderful message, but I want you to say this." So we're going to save what God told me at 2 o'clock in the morning for after I give you my lovely sermon that I prepared for the last 3 weeks. If you have the notes in front of you, you can open them up there. We're going to go through this pretty fast because I want to get to the God part. Thank you. This is the Gary part, then we'll do the God part. We live in a broken world. You can say amen there. We live in a world that has become so divided, so divisive, that we're told to choose sides. We're told to make a choice to choose sides. And it's like if you're on this side, you can't possibly like the people on that side. If you're a conservative, you can't possibly like the liberals. If you're liberals, you know you don't like the conservatives. Even in families, there's division. Families are broken. At school, you know, junior high, high school, that was hard because there were cliques, right? There were divisions. You were either in the in-group or you were not in the in-group, and you didn't like each other and you didn't do each other. And the Apostle John knows that about the church that he's writing to. He knows that there's division there. In fact, he spent the first three chapters talking about knowing what's right, knowing that God is light and that in him there is no darkness whatsoever, and that light has nothing to do with darkness, and almost like it's choosing sides, even in a church. And yet he knows that if with the light, with the knowledge, with the truth, there should be unity. There should be unity in the body. And so he begins in chapter 4 to talk about not only is God light, but God is love. God is light, and just as much, God is love. And so he tells us, as Dwayne read this morning, he begins chapter in verse 7 and on to say, we have to love one another. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the very last verse, verse 21, this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And Jesus taught us well who our brother was, who our neighbor was, who one another were. In the story of the Good Samaritan, it pretty much boils down to everybody. Everybody is your brother. Everybody is your neighbor. Everybody is the one you should love. Even the ones that you don't like. Even the ones who think differently from you. Even the ones who have chosen that side instead of your side. We have to love them. We're supposed to love them. And so the question becomes, okay, God, you know those people. You know them. Why should I love them? Why do I have to love those people that are totally wrong, who don't know what's right? Why should I love them? And God gives John three answers in this text. And the first one is quite obvious, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Everything God does is done from a loving heart, a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness, of tenderness, of care, of provision, of protection. God is love. His very being, part of him, is just that God is going to love us. God is love. And then he says in verse 9, God's love is manifested to us. God has manifested that love that is him. He himself has manifested that love to us. How has he done that? Verse 9. In this way, in this, the love of God was manifest among us. How did God show his love? We all know the answer, right? That God sent his only son. That God sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? To be the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation is a big word and we don't use it very often, but it just means every possible thing that has to do with your salvation. Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrificer. Jesus is the payment. Jesus is the redeemer. Jesus is the restorer. Jesus is the one who satisfies the justice that God needs, that God has towards us. Jesus has done it all. Everything is paid. Everything is done. There is nothing else to be done. And all of that is wrapped up in that word propitiation. Whatever you can think about your salvation, that your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, that your sins are totally paid for by the blood of Christ, that the sacrifice was made on your behalf, that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. All of that wrapped up into that one single word that we've kind of lost track of, propitiation. God has done it all. And why? Why has he done it all? So that we might live. So that we might live. We all know that the wages of sin is what? Death. We all are deserving of death. And yet God, through Christ and in Christ, has done it all for this very reason, that we might live. And why would he do that? Because he loves us. Because he is love. Because he's done that for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies with God, while we stood afar from God and told God, go away, I don't want you, I don't need you, he loved us so much that he came to bear the burden and pay the price for our sin that we might live. So if we're thinking of other people, hold on to that thought. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 11. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So God's manifested his love to us. But then God goes beyond that and has manifested his love in us. God's love has been manifested in us as believers, as those who have put our faith and trust in Christ. God has manifested his love in us, and he's done that in two ways. If we look at verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God does two things. What does God do? God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So let's look at the first one. We are transformed by God's abiding love and by God's perfecting love. God abides in us. God's love is being perfected in us. We are transformed by that abiding love in four different ways. I marked it in yellow. I hope it came out on your paper. All the times he keeps repeating, he abides in you, he abides in you, you abide in him, he abides in you. God's love transforms us by abiding in us. How do we know? How do we know that? Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. At that moment of salvation, God's Spirit itself comes to reside and live within us. Now, if you're like me, there's lots of times you don't feel like that Spirit's in there. But he is. He is. And he abides in us and dwells with us. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have the Spirit. We have the testimony. We have the testimony. Verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We know this. We have the testimony that God has given us, that resides within us. God not only transforms our hearts, but he transforms our heads. And you know this. You know that it's true, that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And then in verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. So we have the Spirit within us. We have the testimony that God has given us. And then we have the confession. We confess this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, guess what? God abides in him, and he in God. And we not only confess it, but we believe it. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He says it again. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I don't know what God wants to do abiding in me. But yet he has chosen through his Spirit, through the word, through the testimony, even the confession and belief that we have, to abide in us. Romans 10:8, 9, and 10. Romans 10, verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. And in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So God abides in us. God abides in us through the Spirit, through the testimony, through our confession, through what we believe. And then, believe it or not, God's love is being perfected in us. We are transformed by God's perfecting love. How many of you are perfect? Yeah, me either. But God is at work within us. The God who abides in us is working within us to make us more and more and more like him, which would be to be loving, because God is love. So look at verse 17. God's love gives us confident assurance. If God loves you and you love God and you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, you're going to have confident assurance of where you're going to end up. By this, the love of God is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in the world. Back in chapter 3, John said this, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. But we know when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. God's love is working within us to give us that confident assurance that the day I take my last breath here, I take my first breath before him. If I'm standing up here, I will be kneeling before his throne. If I'm laying down, he's going to raise me up. I can have confident assurance. I don't have to be afraid of death. I can have confident assurance before God that when I stand before him, he's not going to go, oh, gosh, Gary, I don't know. You know, you really tried. You really, really tried. But no, I don't have to worry about that because I have God. I have Jesus. I have the Spirit living within me, giving me that confident assurance that I am his and he is mine, that I abide in him and he abides in me. And the second one is that God's love casts out fear. Casts out fear. There is no fear. Verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected by love. So if you're like me, you're not there yet. You still have fears. One of mine is other people. But 2 Timothy says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or self-control. God has given us, he hasn't filled us with a spirit of fear. That's gone. It should be gone. And I love Romans 8, 35 and all the way through 39. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do it? Shall tribulation? Shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being slaughtered all day. But then in verse 37 it says, no, listen. In all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, even if you're going to be killed, God is, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I love verse 38 and 39, for I am sure, I have confident assurance, I am not afraid because death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, because God himself is love, the very personification of love, because God's love has been manifested to us on the cross, and because God's love is manifested in us, what do we have to do? Amen. God's love must be manifested through us. We are God's hands and feet. We are God's army of love. Look at verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this command we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. No matter what the division is, no matter what the brokenness is, the broken relationship, the brokenness of our world, no matter what it is, we need to love others. We have to love others. It's God's commandment. And God even says, if you love me, what do? You keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And here it is. What's the commandment of God? We also have to love one another. Jesus is our perfect example. So the very last thing before the band comes back up, which is me and everybody else. Jesus is our perfect example. Right? Jesus is the perfect example for us of what it means to be loving. So I want you to think as we play, as we sing this song, if you had to look in your spiritual mirror, if you had to look in your spiritual mirror, who would you see? Who would you see? Who should we reflect? What should the reflection coming back to us be in our spiritual mirror, but that of Jesus? We should be reflecting his love. We should see his love abiding within us, being perfected within us. Our spiritual mirror, John, in his gospel, records this as they were in the upper room. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was the perfect reflection of God the Father, of a God that is love. Jesus personified that here. That should be our goal. That should be, we need to get out of God's way and let him make Jesus within us. So when the world looks at us, when we look at ourselves, we see Jesus. He must increase. I must decrease. Father, we thank you for this time this morning to just quickly run through your word and how much your love is manifested to us. Through everything that you have done, through everything that you have said, it's done in love. It's done to convey love to us, and it's done to perfect our own love for others, even those that are hard to love, even those that we would rather not love. But you have told us that we must love one another. We lift this all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I was asleep last night, sleeping soundly, and God just somehow invaded my dreams and said, tell them to walk the walk. I said, well, God, they know that. God said, no, tell them to walk the walk. I went, okay, yeah, we should all walk the walk. We should talk the talk. We should walk. No, tell them to walk the walk. And so it was 2:00 in the morning, and I got up. And God said, okay, write this down. The word for love in the chapter we just read is agape. Agape is God's love. Agape is the love of God. Agape is the love that God shed and poured out upon us. If we read that first verse again, it would say, agapetos, beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is of God. And he that agapes is born of God and knoweth God. If you don't agape, then you don't know God. So love, agape is that word. Well, if in the Hebrew, the word used is hesed. And in most translations that you're going to find it listed as loving kindness. Loving kindness. Hesed. What it means is a completely undeserved act of kindness and generosity to somebody else. Just think of God's loving kindness. There's no deservingness in me. It's completely undeserved. God just pours it out upon us generously, kindness, and his mercy and grace. It means a tenderness, a consideration towards others. It's always looking out. It's always facing somebody else. It's not about me. It's about everybody else. And the key words that capture the essence of loving kindness, it's always towards others. It's an outward expression, not one of self-seeking motivation. It says, hesed is wrapped up in all the positive attributes of God. Love, faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. When we think of loving others, it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to love you because I have to. If you were kids, when you were kids, and you got in a fight with your brother and sister, what did your mom always make you do? You got to go tell your brother you're sorry. Right? So you go over, I'm sorry. No. Say it like you mean it. Okay. I'm sorry. No, tell him that you love him. Okay, I love you. You know, it's not within us, but loving kindness just pours out from us. So God says, okay, walk the walk. And so I said, okay, God, what do you mean? He says, tell them to do we acts of loving kindness. We acts of love. I didn't know God had a Scottish accent. Go tell them to do we acts of loving kindness. Because if you take the letters of we act of loving kindness, what does it spell? W-A-L-K. Walk the walk. God, you're really good at this. You should give sermons all the time. We need to walk the walk. We need to do we acts of loving kindness. And that could be anything. That could be offering somebody half of your sandwich. That could be offering the person that you don't like in your office a cookie. Here, would you like a cookie? Any we act of loving kindness that we do towards others is walking the walk. It's being loving. It's not about me. It's about the relationship that we have, restoring those relationships, healing those relationships, turning a heart that's angry and mad and refuses love into one that accepts love. So as we go from here this morning, my challenge for you is to do a wee act of love and kindness this week to somebody that you might be in a broken relationship with, somebody in school that you don't like or that doesn't like you, somebody in the office that you've always butted heads with, somebody in your family that's weird. By the way, if you can't figure out who the weird person in your family is, it's you. Everybody else knows it. But just do some small thing. Maybe it's just a kind word. Maybe it's just a hello between people that I haven't said hello in ages. Maybe it's walking across the street to a neighbor with an extra slice of bread that you made. I don't know, or a bowl of soup. Or maybe it's leaving some snacks on your front porch for the postman. Maybe it's any small act of love, of loving kindness that you can do. Let's do we acts of love and kindness this week. Let our Scottish inner person come shining out. So that's it. We're not going to sing any more songs. I'm just going to pray. You're going to leave and have a great week and do some we acts of loving kindness. Father, thank you so much for the times you slap us up beside the head, for the times when your word goes beyond just the written words on the page, but really moves into our hearts and into our lives. God, we've been taught since the beginning of our days as Christians that we had to love others. But God, how often do we not obey that commandment? How often do we turn away from those in need? How often do we not wish to restore certain relationships? And yet you have called us to do all those things because you are a God who does all those things. When our relationship was broken, my relationship with you was in shambles. You gave your only son. God, help us this week, next week, through the rest of our lives to really walk the walk. Just in small ways, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to let others, when they look at us, see the reflection of your love in us. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And we thank you that you have called us to be your little Jesuses, running around doing wee acts of love to those around us. We give you all praise, glory, thanks in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Vamos!